The beginning of Parshas Bamidbar deals with the count of the Jewish people and then proceeds to tell us how the Jewish people encamped, each by their degel, each by their flag, three on each side, surrounding the Ohel Moed, surrounding the Tent of Meeting, and the Levim being inside the closest to the Ohel Moed, while the Jewish people, the 12 tribes, surrounding Levim, which surrounded the Ohel Moed. There's a very interesting dynamic that the Megid Yosef points out in source number one, and it's this dynamic that I'd like to try, Mirtz Hashem, to develop today. He says, L'chora yesh po nigud v'stira. L'chora, at first glance, there seems to be a contradiction in the way the count is established. If we take a look at source number two, take a census of the entire assembly of the children of Israel, according to their families, according to their father's households, by number of the names, every male according to their head count. So note the Megid Yosef. On the one hand, you have by the number, and on the other hand, you have by the name. A number in its own right means that you're part of a larger group, right? If you have the number two, it means that there is a number one. You're comparing the number two to the number one, and the number three to the one and two. So the number relates to the idea of the global, the group. Mi'idach, on the other hand, aval shemot hu semel haprat vayichud. While the number is talking about the group as large and not focusing in on the individual, the shemot, the names, is very much the individual. And this was the chokhmah of Adam HaRishon. This was his wisdom, that he gave every single animal a name, because that shows its uniqueness. So what do we have here? Were the Jewish people counted in a global form without paying attention to the individual? Or was the focus in on the individual, not so much on the larger whole? And the answer is both. We have here Yehudam Shal Yisrael in the bracket of one, Bazeh Sheino Soter Klal, it's not a contradiction. Mitzad Echad Hemispar, yes, on one hand, Kla Yisrael is a number, and Kol Yochid Yoneke Kocho B'Yoto Chelik Mikla Yisrael, and Kla Yisrael has to see themselves, every individual, as not as an individual, as much as part of a whole. They are a number. They are part of a unified unit. Umi'idach, on the other hand, Heim Shemot. Yes, every single person has a Yichud, has a Shem Shelo, has their own unique place. And even though they're a number, that doesn't take away from their uniqueness. And this, he says, is so beautifully related in the two major descriptions that Klal Yisrael compared to in the Nevuah and the prophecy to Avraham Avinu. They're compared to the Kochvei HaShemayim, and we'll talk more about this today, the stars in the heaven, and each and every star has its own name, has its own brilliance, and that shows the Shemot, that shows the uniqueness of every person. As well as the Jewish people are compared to the sand on the beach. The sand, Kechol HaSher Sfat HaYam, each gargir of chol, each grain of sand, is not worth much in its own right. The sand is great in terms of its ability to join together, and when all the sands join together, then it becomes a mashu, becomes a something, becomes a sand on the beach. In that way, each an individual sand, like each person, doesn't have their own individual worth. Their worth is found in the group. And this, he notes in the asterisk at the end of three, is the brilliance of Klal Yisrael. When we initiate a child into the Bris Shel Avraham Avinu, on the one hand, he becomes, when he has a Bris Milah of circumcision, like every other Jew. He has now entered into the covenant. But at the same moment that now he's entered into the covenant, and he can be counted as another number among the Jewish people, at that very same ceremony, he gets his name, which shows that this is an individual, not just a number. That dichotomy is what Klal Yisrael are all about. We're part of a whole, and we need to function within that whole, But yet at the same time, we are very much an individual and have to recognize the status and the greatness that is inherent in each and every one of us. It's this balance that the Parsha is teaching us at the very beginning of Chumash Bamidbar that has to be for us a model of what Yiddishkeit is about. And it's not by accident that in most years, 9 out of 10, this year being a leap year, the exception, Parsha Bamidbar is always found before Shavuos. Because before we can accept the Torah, okay, it's 2 weeks before this year, before we can accept the Torah, we have to understand, where are we in terms of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in terms of his relationship with us? Are we accepting the Torah as a unified whole, or are we accepting the Torah as an individual? And the answer is really both at the same time. And that's the godless, that's the greatness of what Klal Yisrael is about, how the individual and the community work in tandem, one with each other. When we understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu cares about each and every one of us as a whole and as an individual, that is the first prerequisite that we need to have in order to move forward. The first thing we need to know is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves us in both capacities, as a whole and as an individual. And this is how the Mefarshim Moshe Shirim discusses that when Klal Yisrael are counted, Rashi tells us, source number 4, Mitoch chibatam lefanav mona otam kol sha'a. Because of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's great love for the Jewish people, he counts them at many different times. When they left Egypt, when they fell in the Egel, now when he's about to bring his Shechina on them in the time of the building of the Mishkan, all of this shows how much Hashem loves the Jewish people as a whole. And as the Rosh Shirim continues by saying, the Torah is so careful about every letter, about every crown, about every single thing that's written in the Chumash. Why do we have so many times the count of the Jewish people? This is to teach us that when we're talking about our responsibility, when we're talking about where we are, klapei Shemaya, what our responsibility is in accepting the Torah, we need to understand first and foremost that there is, from HaKadosh Baruch Hu's side, a tremendous amount of love that he invests in us as Klal Yisrael. We are the Am HaNivchar. As we say in our davening, Ata Bechartanu Mikol La'amim, you have chosen us from all the nations. Ahavta Otanu, you have loved us. This has to be the fundamental understanding that Klal Yisrael as a nation is the Am HaNivchar. We are the chosen nation. We are the Ata Bechartanu, Ahavta Otanu. We are the nation that Hashem has chosen and the nation that Hashem has chosen to love. And therefore, in order for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to make clear to Klal Yisrael this inherent love, HaKadosh Baruch Hu spends, as he says, pages upon pages in the Chumash, talking about the count like somebody who loves something. They count it over and over again. Hashem, who loves Klal Yisrael, counts us over and over again. But in order for us not to be mistaken, that Hashem only loves us as a klal, Ata Bechartanu, plural, you've chosen us. But it's not each and every individual that he loves. He just loves us as a group. The imagery that our rabbis use for this count is the imagery that Rashi teaches at the beginning of Sefer Shemot. Lodia Chibatam in Sur 6, Shenim Shalu Lekochavim, that we are compared to the stars. Shemotziyam Umachnisam B'mispar U'bishmotam, that Hashem brings the stars in and out by their number and by their name. Shenemar Hamotzi B'mispar Sva'am Lekulam B'shem Yikra. And that's exactly what the Jewish people is about. Af Yisrael, the asterisk in 6. Nimshalu Lekochavim Elu. Lozo B'vad Shela'am B'chlaluto Nodat Chashivut. It's not enough for us to know that Hashem loves us as a nation, Ela shekol echad ve'echad, but each individual has to understand. Nosei alav shem yichudi v'chashivut erkit miyuchedet, that each and every one of us has a mission, has something special to do. Umifkad ze shal Yisrael no'ad lahadgish erkiyut yichidut zu. And the count is to teach us not only about the general love, but the specific love as well. The idea of specifically connecting each and every Jew to a star is not by accident. As the Lekach V'Libuv notes in source number 7, he says, when you take a look at a star, you're not quite sure what the luminance of every star is. But when you come up closer, you see that every star shines. Every star has a tremendous amount of light emanating from it. He says, likewise, this is to teach you the godless and the shamos Yisrael, who are compared to the stars. Ki afim nir'el le'ish Yisrael she'en lo or. If a person says, well, either referring to themselves or to others, they're not so special. Hu nir'el le'ayin kilu chashuch, as if he's dark, without any lach lechutcha mitzvah, nothing makes me special. No! Every star has kochvei or. Every star has a light. And likewise, each and every person, his pnimios, his inner part, is an neshama chelek eloka mimal. And we have to recognize that every Jewish person is a star, has a tremendous amount of light emanating from them, and it comes from the neshama, the special soul that Hashem has put into them. This is particularly appropriate as we're giving the shir today on the day known as Lag Ba'Omer, because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai's major contribution to Klal Yisrael is the idea of the Zohar, the secret hidden part of the Torah, literally the brilliant light. And one of the things Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught Klal Yisrael, one of the most fundamental messages, is that each and every member of Klal Yisrael has within them the Zohar, this brilliant light. And even if a person on the outside looks like they're empty, looks like there's nothing in them that's special, you are missing it. You are not seeing correctly. Every Jewish person is a star. Every Jewish person has a great light in them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves each and every one of us, no matter who and no matter what we are. HaKadosh Baruch Hu never gives up hope on any person. And that's the idea in 8, that the word kochav, star, is made up of really two words, kavav, kafbet. Kavav, gematria, the numerical value is 26, which is the Yud-Kei-Vav-Kei, the name of God, is also the numerical value of 26. Kafbet, numerical value is 22, which are the letters of the alphabet. To show you that every Jew is part of the Am Segula, the Segol, the three letter in the grammatical Segol, the three dots, represents that threesome, that chuta meshulash that lobim herayin take, that three-ply cord. Kutchabrichu, Oraisa, and Yisrael, God, Torah, and Klal Yisrael are one. And this refers to each and every Jew as an individual. But the godless of this love, the brilliance of this love, my friends, the brilliance of this count is not just that Hashem loves us and he keeps that love to himself. But no, he wants us to know about this love. He wants us to share in his feeling of love. And that's why in source number 9, we have the Mishnah in the name of Rabbi Akiva, Rashbi's Rebbe, Chaviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem. Special is the person who's created in the image of God. And Chiba Yisera Nodalo Shenivra B'Tzelem. But it's even more beloved when you know that you are created in the image of God. L'shem kach, the asterisk with the circle, mofi'im b'torah b'archava rabah kol kach, mifkadeim shabnei sova midbar. This is why the count is found over and over again in Sefer Bamidbar. In fact, the Sefer Bamidbar is called Sefer Pekudim, the book of counting. Even though many, many incidences happen in this book, it's specifically the counting at the beginning and the end of the Sefer that are highlighted by the name our rabbis give to this Sefer. Kedei lo diachibatam, because this count is a public account to show Hashem's love. Lo b'tzina tziva HaKadosh Baruch Hu kach. It wasn't in private. Elo b'mayimat kol kahal adat Yisrael, in order to be mefarsim b'rabim. How much Hashem loves Klal Yisrael and B'mispar Shemot. How much Hashem loves each and every individual of Klal Yisrael. And do you know what this means for us, my friends? Source 10, Yidiyazu, Chayevet Lalot Eterko, Shokol Yochin Yisrael, Beinezu Lato. It means that we have to be able to appreciate each and every individual that we come in contact with and be able to have what Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai taught us, this Ayin Tova, this good eye, to be able to see the goodness, the beauty, the Kedusha in every person. But you know what it also teaches us? Ulam gam b'nei atzmo chayav adam liyot chador b'tchushat chashivuto etzel aporei. We have to see our own goodness, our own specialness. We have to walk around saying, Bishvili nivra olam, for me the world was created. And this is the deeper pshat in the Medrash we've dealt with at length. Had Reuven known, they would say about him in the Torah that he tried to save Yosef, he would have put him on his shoulder. Had Aaron HaKohen known it said that he would have greeted his brother Moshe, he wouldn't have just been happy in his heart. He would have gone out with a big parade. Had Boaz known it would say about him that he gave a little bit of parched grain, he would have given her fat cows. It's not about had these people known for publicity reasons they would have done it better. No. Explains the Chudik She'arim. Had they known what their actions, what the power of the individual's actions are, had they been able to see the greatness within themselves, that each and every action they do carries enormous weight, has an enormous potential in it, had they understood this, they would have done things differently. And that's the model and the lesson for us in this week's parsha. When the pasuk says, Se'u, the arrow intent, at Rosh Kol Adap B'nei Yisrael. Se'u literally means to lift up the head of the Jewish people. Nisiyat HaRosh, lifting up the head, means Ha'alat Ha'erech Shel Yisrael, to lift up their value. The Torah is teaching us that this counting was to teach Am Yisrael Bichlal, in a universal sense, ulecho yochi biprat, an individual sense, et varo chavivutam v'nei hamakul, how beloved they are in the eyes of God. Vayidei zeh yale erkam v'nei etzmam, v'yigba libam v'darchei Hashem. When a person recognizes who they are, they recognize their worth, they recognize that that which they do has meaning, that which they do has impact, that changes the way a person acts. And this explains so beautifully the Nostesha and 11 and 12. The Medrash about Shmini Atzeret, where HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you know, Kasha Leikrei Daskam, you know, it's so difficult for me to see you leave. Stay with me another day. And the obvious question is, well, the next day, it's also going to be hard for Hashem to have them leave. What difference does one day make? That's not the point. The point is Hashem saying, Kasha Leikrei Daskam. The point is Hashem saying, you're beloved to me, that's hard for me to see you leave me. That's the point. And this, my friends, is the first message of the parasha for us, that it is so important to convey love. When a person knows they are loved, when a person is told they are loved, then it's not just loved, that they're valued. Se'u et Rosh, and what they are doing has importance. And it's not just on the global level, but on the individual level. And my friends, this is true whether you're a person, you know, a manager or a principal, to tell every member of the staff, every member of the team, how you are helping the entire team, how you're helping the entire school achieve its goals, and individually how what you are doing is irreplaceable. That's what every person needs to hear. That's what every person needs to keep them going. And likewise in a family unit as well, how every member of the family, all the siblings are helping to bring about what this family is trying to achieve in this, in the community, in their own family dynamics, and how each and every child, with their own sense of humor, with their own specialness, is able to give to the family in a way that's unique and special. This dynamic of being part of a whole and the importance of the whole, as well as what the individual contributes, and without you, it's empty, is fundamental. And that is the message that the parasha is trying to convey. The second aspect of this, and then we'll break it down into how do we go about doing this. The second aspect is to understand that when we're speaking about, from the one hand, Hashem's love toward us, and how each and every one of us is special in Hashem's eyes, we need to underscore for ourselves the flip side on how we understand that our job is to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That our job is to be able, as he says, the Mimamakim in 14, that over and over again is the idea of Kol Yotzei Tzava, Litzivotam, Latzava, Kol Tzivos Hashem. What is the Tzava? So he says, the Tzava means that each and every person has a job to do in order to be successful in bringing Kvod Malchut Shamayim in this world. Just like in an army, every officer in their different battalions has their job in being able to carry out the will of the king in order to win the war. You know, the Navy with its job, and the foot soldiers and the tanks with theirs, each and every Jew has their job with what makes them unique and special, to realize that our job is to bring about a Gilui Kvod Shamayim, that we're dealing here. Kol Asher Darko Mitgala HaMalchus, the end of 14, Asher Sivta Lava Tarali Paket Vale Manot, that we are part of a larger army, and our job is to be able to bring about the will of God, to bring about the glory of God in this world. So just to have the feeling that God loves us, and we're important, and we're special, in a vacuum is not enough. We need the flip side to understand that this role that Hashem has put us in of loving us and giving us a special job is specifically in being able to make this world a more godly place, in being able to be part of the army of Hashem. And notes as Fasemes, he says, Nichtav na arrow in 15, Haminyan batara lo dia, every person is counted because every person's job has a connection with God. Every person is able to bring about greater godliness in this world. And what was true of them is also true of each and every one of us in every generation. To the extent that we really believe that each and every one of our actions is about serving God, is about bringing greater godliness into this world. To that extent that a person believes it, to that extent a person is able to understand what their place is. And this, he says, is the interfaith between the counting and the machana and the way they encamped. Because when a person understands that each and every person is counted, then you understand that each and every person has a specific place in this world, a place where they encamp, a place where they can bring about godliness in this world. And this is our job, to be able to understand how we are unique, how God has invested in us, and we need to be able to respond by bringing about through our actions greater godliness in this world, and recognizing that each and every one of us has an indispensable place in God's puzzle in this world. This dynamic is something we've met many times. We'll just remind ourselves in Source 17, World Mask, in the chapter Levels of Order by Rabbi Tatz, where he speaks about this paradoxical duality, where each part is at one and the same time nothing and everything. nothing because it's only a part. Without the rest of the system, it's utterly useless. And everything because when all the other parts are in place and functioning, it becomes essential and critical. And this was a system of the Jewish people in the desert. When they traveled, they had to dig Le'Midbar. Each tribe in the asterisk in 17 occupied a specific position within the camp. The root of this formation lies in the fact that each tribe has a specific identity and function within the Jewish people, and therefore a specific place. Within each tribe, each family has a specific and unique role, and so too each individual within each family. As the Jewish people were being formed, the uniqueness of each element within the nation was being laid down. And this is the dynamic we speak about. We achieve our uniqueness precisely when we fit into a larger order perfectly. Remarkably, it is exactly when we blend into the universal picture, exactly as we should in terms of our private, unique qualities and abilities, that we thrill to realization that no one else could fulfill this particular function. But I fit in perfectly so that I can become indistinguishable as an individual. And that is what our challenge is, that each tribe had a place to live. And within each tribe, each family, within each family, each member of the family, we have our own unique position. But that position that we have is in order to give life to the whole. We are like that tiny little piece in the larger machine, that if that piece isn't there, the entire machine doesn't function. We're nothing, yet we're everything. We have to realize that we're a small part. We have to do our part to the best of our ability and recognize at the same time that with our part, the entire whole cannot function. So clearly our job is, in 18, one must strive to discover what one's uniqueness is. What is my particular task? What essential part of the universe is mine to build? And second, in 19, one must realize that the thrill of fitting in is much more mature experience than the thrill of being a loner at any cost. Our job is to know who we are, to know how beloved we are in the eyes of God, and then to realize that this special aspect that we have is about serving HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is about finding our place in this world and having the two blend perfectly together. My friends, if we understand this, that the count is predicated on love and predicated on each and every one of us having our unique job in this world, we then have to realize that in order to be able to go about on a practical level functioning on this scheme, we need to recognize three important yesodos. And these three fundamental ideas will help guide us in being able to be successful in not losing track of what we are here to do in our world. The first is to be able to be goal-oriented. As the Or Daniel points out, based on Rav Shimshon Rafael Hirsch in 21, he says, Yesh la'amod al yesod chashuv v'ashkafat ha-Torah. Omnam nachon hayad echad hu. We have to recognize that we all, each and every one of us in this world, have the same goal. We're all here to learn Torah and do mitzvot. We have all the same Shulchan Aruch. But we have to understand, HaDerech HaMovila El Hayad, the way to get to this destination, the way that we're going to be successful in fighting our Yetzer Hara, the way that we're going to feel this passion in service of God, the way that we're going to be successful to have Yiras Hashem, has to be different. Because Kishem Shepartzufeim Einom Domim, just like our faces aren't alike, our personalities aren't alike. So when we speak about Achdus, when we speak about the whole, and we speak about that we want to have a united front, understand this is practical insight number one. Understand that we all have to have the goal clearly in front of us. We're here to serve Hashem. But at the same time, we have to understand that it's not about mimicking each other in order to fulfill that goal. To understand that we each have our different ways to be successful in being able to bring about godliness in this world. And it's the diversity itself that leads to the unity ultimately, because it's a diversity that leads to having God's name and God's glory be found in so many different aspects of life. So all of us must know what we're here to accomplish. We're here to be the best Avdei Hashem we can be, to be the best people to serve God. But at no time should we say that that then means I need to be like everyone else. And when I'm like everyone else, that's going to lead to a unified whole. No, it's the ability to be an individual where we all have the same goal in mind. And this is why he speaks about the main goal in life in the arrow in 22, Hadavar Merkazi Shadam Yachol Lekabel Lavschar. The one thing that we get rewarded for, Zehatsar. It's not for the ultimate result, it's for the process. Hasevel V'Mesiras HaNefesh. How much do we put in to fulfilling our role? You see, in the Western culture, it's all about end goal. It's all about results. And if you don't have the results, you're a failure. In Judaism, the result is clear. The end goal is clear, serving God. We may be successful, we may not be successful. But it's really not about the end result, because all of us are involved in the end result in one way or another. What God really wants from us is process orientation. What are we doing with our kochos hanefesh? What are we doing with our unique abilities? Lefum sara akra, according to the pain is a reward. Am I trying to the best of my ability to become somebody who's a godly person? And my friends, this is on every moment of our lives. This isn't just about a major goal in life. This is about when my child asks me for a cup of milk, how do I respond? When my neighbor calls me up to do me a favor, if I should do them a favor, how do I respond? How am I living my life with who I am as an individual on a day-in, day-out basis? Every decision we make, everything we say, that is a godly response. And all of those responses together are what ultimately going to form who we are as the individual. So sometimes you can get so caught up in the goal that you forget the process and you forget how you're supposed to get there. Therefore, my friends, idea number one is know that our goal is the Tzava Hashem, Sivosam, that we're here to serve Hashem. But recognize that each and every one of us does this differently, and we are held accountable for the process that we go through and how successful we are. Rav Freifeld Zatzal, and Rabbi Freifeld speaks, talks about this in such a gewaltic way, where he speaks about Source 23. A person is born, he grows up, he encounters different situations, experiences, he develops a relationship with life and creates a personal world for himself. And he wonders, what's the purpose of it all? What is he meant to be doing? In order to answer these questions, we have to recognize that each person is unique, a world unto himself, utterly unlike any other. The human species is the pinnacle of creation, the high point of the whole cosmos. There's no creature in the cosmos that in any way resembles humankind. And within humankind, among the billions of billions of human beings that inhabit the surface of this planet, no two individuals are identical or even alike. Each and every one of us, an entire world that has its own set of raw materials, its own experiences, its own situations, its own circumstances, its own relationships, its own strengths and shortcomings, its own fears, and its own aspirations. The Almighty made us different because He wants each human being to engage the world as an artist, a sculptor whose mission it is to use his particular skills to mold his particular raw materials into a living work of art. That is our purpose here on this earth, to make our lives into living works of art. everything in this world can be used to form and decorate the vibrant art of human light. Everything in life, every deed, action, and circumstance can be construed to be forbidden, permitted, or holy. And the synthesis of all these elements, integrated, intertwined, coalesce into one composite image as the sum total of our lives. We are the artists, the sculptors, the creators of the living works of art that will emerge from our time spent on this earth. And it's our responsibility that what we produce is a kvod shamayim, a testament to the glory of heaven. And when we understand that in order to be creators, we need to form a bond with Hashem, every person needs the siyata deshmaya, needs the help of Hashem. My friends, this is what life is all about. It's about that we all have a mission. It's about that we all have a purpose. And it's about our understanding that each and every one of us who's going through life and creating and molding and shaping needs a Kadosh Baruch Hu in order to be successful. We need to feel that Hashem is with us. We need to be able to turn to Hashem and say, help me. You believe in me. You've given me life within me. You are the one who directs my life. It's going to be Nasa Adam. Let us make man, plural. That us and HaKadosh Baruch Hu together will be able to create this human being. And recognize, we all have in the bracket of 26 creative destiny. Every person is worthy of Siyata Deshmaya. And that's why the Gemara says, Yagatu Matsati Taimin. I toiled and I found. If you really toil, if you really work hard with what belongs to you, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu is going to give you the Siyata Deshmaya to be successful. A Rebbe once said to his chassid at the end of 27, you don't love the biggest tzaddik as much as the Almighty loves the biggest Russia. Why? Because as long as a person is alive, the Almighty has great expectations. But in order to take advantage of this hope in 28, a person has to believe in himself. He has to believe in the immense opportunities and possibilities that are within his grasp. If he thinks of himself as a useless, as a loser, he will flow through his life and waste his time. My friends, this is Ha'ara number one. How are we going to believe in ourselves that we are worthy of this count? Idea number one is to be goal-oriented with, at that same moment when we understand the collective whole, that we're all here together. I'm part of a larger unit which is about creating godliness in this world. I'm part of a mispar, but at the same time, I am a shemot. I am a unique individual who has unique siyata deshmaya, and God believes in me. And as long as I have breath of life within myself, I need to believe in myself. And that's what Sfiras HaOmer is about. That's what the Tnufa is about, the waving is about, that a Jew has to, in 29, the Lekach V'Alibov, has to be able to discover his chashivos, his specialness, to be able to raise that up to Hashem, to see what is unique within us. If we don't realize that we're special, if we don't realize that we're unique, if we don't realize the special siyata deshmaya that we have, we're going to fall short of our name, of our uniqueness, of why Hashem put us here on this earth. That's our challenge, to live that duality of I'm part of a whole creating godliness, but at the same time, I have a unique piece in this larger whole, and I have to work to the best of my ability at every moment to become a more godly person. The second aspect that we need to understand, which dovetails the first, is a sense of personal responsibility. That this requirement of making something of ourselves is not just a nice, sweet idea, but this is our responsibility in this world. There's a Gevaldic idea that Sefer Bishvili Nivra Ha'olam, Rav Shmuel Brazil, in Source 30 notes, he says, when we are counted b'mispar shemot, levet avotam, to our father's house, it means that each and every one of us has to ask ourselves, When am I going to reach my father's house? When are my actions going to be as great as Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov? When am I going to be able to live to the fullest of my potential? And he quotes here a gewaltic idea based on the Balaturim in 31. He says, when you look at the different encampments of the four sides, there is on each side one shevet that is like the chief of the other two shvatim. On the one side, on the east, that's Yehuda, who's the chief between Yisachar and Zvulun. On the south side, Reuven's the chief. His degel is, he's the one that leads it from Shimon and Gad. On the west, Ephraim for Binyamin and Menasheh. And in the north, Dan is the chief between Asher and Naphtali. Why were these chosen? From where were these chosen? So says the Balaturim, in the brachos of Yaakov Avinu, to each one of these tribes he turned to in second person and didn't speak to them in third person. So, for example, Yehuda, ata yoducha achecha, you, Yehuda, Ruvain b'chori ata, dan l'shuatcha kiviti Hashem. When Yaakov Avinu is speaking to them, l'nochach, directly to them, not as a who, that gives them this elevated position that they are the chief on their side. And he says, in the middle of 31, double underline, v'karata sheichut hamiuchadet hi b'vchinat ata. When we look at our jobs, we have to see them as ata. The nochach shekol achat tzarich liyot ata. V'atzmo v'lo hu. Lashon ha'morel richuk v'zarus. Wow! When we speak about our own flags, our own responsibility, understand that we need to look at it as if Hashem is talking to us directly. Ata, you, each one of us, has a direct potential. It's not who, you, third person, Nistar, hidden. Our responsibility is to see ourselves as a personal responsibility to live up to our potential. When you refer to somebody as he or she, it's distant. And they can, you know, fly through the cracks. And we see this, my friends, so often in a classroom. When you relate to every child individually, you call them a name, you look them in the eye, you have personal contact with them, you place your hand on their shoulder, there is that intimate relationship where each and every one of you counts, then each student is going to work up to the best of their potential. If there's a teacher who's just going to focus in on the very bright and perhaps the very weak, and the middle just slides through, and the teacher doesn't relate to them in that same direct type of way, then the students say, the teacher doesn't even know I exist. You know, I'll do my bare minimum, and I'll fight there, I'll get through class. And that's true of life. If we don't feel that Hashem is looking at us as an ata, as a you, so then why do I need to fulfill to the best of my ability? And that is the second prerequisite, is to understand our personal responsibility that Hashem is turning to each and every one of us. Hashem invests in each and every one of us. And that relationship is what has to be underscored in our relationship with Hashem. Rav Brazil here notes very beautifully in Source 32, he likes to play on words. He says that each flag had a tzeva, each flag corresponding to the stones in the breastplate, each one had a special color. He says, when you recognize your tzeva, tzadik, beis, ayin, your color, what makes you unique, the you that makes you special, then such a person should not be full of, moving around the letters, etzev, ayin, tzadik, beis, sadness. Why do I have this color and not that color? Because you recognize that Hashem has chosen you for this color. And then you're able to move to another three-letter combination, bet tzadik ayin, betza, the gain. Then you're able to gain such a perspective and growth in recognizing that this color is unique for you. And the way that he speaks about it in 32 is like we're part of a great symphony, we're part of a great orchestra. And you're right, some people are playing all the time their musical instrument, and some people have like that little triangle, and every few minutes they go bing, and then, you know, the rest of the symphony goes on, and then 10 minutes later, bing, and they may sit there saying, my gosh, who really cares about my little bing and my little triangle when these guys are playing, you know, the tuba and the, you know, flute and these beautiful instruments and I'm just binging every 10 minutes. No. Every tseva, every color has meaning, and every single person has a unique part in this symphony. And as we know, a conductor who's a master conductor will listen to a symphony, and if he will hear which instrument is not playing, he will hear if an instrument is not playing their notes correctly or not coming in at the correct time. We, the audience, may say, what difference does it make if he's binging or not? But to the conductor, the piece is not the same piece. And that, to the ultimate conductor, Lam Natsayach, to the ultimate conductor, HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows, this is our piece, this is our bing, this is our time. And he invests in each and every one of us as an ata, like Yehuda, like Reuven, like Ephraim, and like Dan. And the final aspect, my friends, in this world, one, seeing our overall goal, being able to live up to our potential. The third is not feeling jealousy for what other people have, being able to be comfortable in our own skin. And this is the idea that when Klal Yisrael saw the great formation of the angels by Mamed Har Sinai, V'diglo Layava, they said, we want to have the formation like the angels. We want everyone to encamp the same way that the angels had places to encamp. When Moshe Rabbeinu heard this, he got very nervous. And he says, this is brought down in the rest of Tzfatenu, he says, Hashem, I'm worried. That the asterisk in 35, that if different tribes are going to be found in different places, so then there's going to be jealousy among the tribes. Why am I here? Why is he there? And I don't want to have this encampment. To which Hashem says, Mach Palacha, recognize that this way they encamped came from Yaakov Avinu, the way they carried his body. Yaakov Avinu foresaw the way that would be the perfect balance for each one of these tribes. What was the greatness of Yaakov Avinu? Yaakov Avinu understood in 36 in the asterisk how each and every one of the tribes was different. And he understood how each one of the tribes has their own path to fill the will of God. And just like by the angels we say at the end of 36, V'kula mekablim aleihem, and they all receive upon themselves, O malchut shamayim zeh mizeh, the yoke of kingdom, this one from that one. V'notnim ve'ava reshut zeh lazeh, and they give with love permission one to the other. That's the vision of the angels, and that's the vision that Yaakov Avinu understood and HaKadosh Baruch Hu was allowing for the Jewish people to have. That we are able to recognize that we have differences among us. And these differences are not meant to lead to jealousy, but rather me'ava, from love one to each other. That each one of us has our particular and unique place, and we recognize that these individual places together forms what Klal Yisrael is about. And that's the imagery Rav Tzadok speaks about in 40. Then Yecheskel, there are going to be 12 gates, one for every Shevet. And yet Yerushalayim is called the city, Ir Shechubra LaYachdav, the city of unity. Yaakov Avinu takes 12 stones under his head, and they unite to form one, to teach us that there are 12 different paths in order to reach God. We have 12 windows in a shul because there are 12 different windows in order for each tribe and their uniqueness to be able to approach God. But it's the one and the same shul. And each one of us, our job is to be able to recognize that just like I and my tribe have a certain path, this tribe and they have a certain path as well. It's kulam yachad. Together, we are Shiftei Yisrael. We are the tribes of Yisrael. It's not with a feeling of jealousy that their part is greater than my part, or what I am doing is greater than what someone else is doing. We need to understand that the way Klal Yisrael encamped is a model for us in our Avodas Hashem, that each and every one of us has to understand, yes, I have a unique part in Klal Yisrael. Yes, I have a unique responsibility. Yes, we all have the ultimate goal of serving God. And just like I have a unique path, and just like I have a unique instrument, and just like I have a unique color, my friend also has a unique path, color, and instrument. And I will be able to relate to them with love. I'll be able to relate to them with respect. Achdus, unity in Judaism isn't about where all the different Eidot, the Ashkenazim, the Sfardim, the Hasidim, all daven in the same minyan. No, that's not unity. That's a mishmash. Unity is where everyone is going to daven in the Ashkenazi minyan, Nesach Sfard minyan, Nesach Ariza minyan, the Chabad minyan, the Breslov minyan. Each one's going to daven in their own minyan. But that I as an individual can respect each and every minyan. I can understand that each one has a path. This one through singing, this one through learning, this one through Iflava, through passion. Each one of them has a path, a color, an instrument to be able to come close to God. And my friends, this is the message as the Nesiva Shalom teaches us in 41. Before Kabbalah Satorah, Klal Yisrael need to be Ish al-Machaneu v'Ish al-Diglo. Before we're able to get the Torah, we need to know where our place is in life. We need to know where we encamp. We need to know what we are doing here in this world. Parshas Bamidbar sets up for us in two words what the entire essence of Yiddishkeit is about. B'mispar shemot. We are part of a whole. We all have the same vision. We're all part of the same army to bring about revelation of godliness. But we're all shemot. We're all names. We all have a unique position. We all have a unique job. And our job in life is to be able to appreciate what we are, to be able to take each and every moment and be able to live up to our potential to the greatest of our abilities, to be able to see what makes us unique in our kochos ha-nefesh, develop them, whether it's humor, whether it's empathy, whether it's kindness, to develop this to the ultimate degree that I can bring about godliness in the world through this medium, to be able to see that I have purpose and Hashem loves me for the way He created me and gives me this yata d'shmaya, this help from above. And at the same time that I am so busy working on myself, that I am working on my little piece of the machine so it can be as perfect as possible, I am part of a larger whole, a larger machine where each and every piece is also working on their whole, where each flag has its own color, has its own encampment. And when I'm living up to my responsibility, the yata, to the fullest of my responsibility, and the kulam be'ava, with love, give one to another, and I'm able to respect each other, and I'm able to have this ability to appreciate that there are different harbe shluchim lamakom, there are different paths and different emissaries to reach godliness in this world, then I come to an understanding of how all of us are part of the great army of God, and we're able to accept the Torah, each and every one of us in the call, in the voice that is unique for us to hear and be able to live a Torah lifestyle of our uniqueness blended in perfectly to the ultimate harmony of the whole, of being able for all of us to do what we're put here on this world to do, each and every one of us, to serve Hashem to the best of our ability.